Okay, good morning, everybody, and thanks for your attendance. I'm Kelly Thorpe. I'm an ag engineer at USDA ARS, Maricopa, Arizona. This morning, I'm just going to take you through a simple and quick example of how to use a crop systems model to look at trade-offs between water management alternatives and production in wheat. So we're all aware that there are current concerns about the future availability of freshwater resources due to things like population growth projected and potential changing climate. So in the United States, agriculture is currently the second highest user of freshwater, and so there's ample opportunity for improvements in how we use that water efficiently. The management decision for water at the farm level, however, is pretty complex. It goes beyond just what the crop is using. Growers need to take into consideration the supplies of fresh water regionally, in addition to whatever delivery mechanisms we have available for movement of water to the farm, and then what is the local political climate, and how does that affect availability of water at the farm level. So it's a very complicated decision, and we need a very robust tool that could look at different alternative ways of managing water in light of all these different factors that affect the availability of water on the farm. So I'm going to implement a cropping systems model for looking at these different alternatives. I've implemented the wheat model of the DSAT family of growth models. This is the CSM CropSim series wheat model. This is a one-dimensional model that operates on a daily time step and simulates wheat growth and development over the season, while also simulating water and nitrogen balances, which take the wheat growth down if there are deficit conditions for these water and nitrogen balances. The model was previously calibrated for two wheat experiments that were conducted in central Arizona. The experiments were done in 03-04 and 04-05 over the winter, and I reported on those that calibration in previous talks in previous years. We had plenty of soil moisture data and crop growth and development data as part of those experiments to fully evaluate this model. Now, in the current study, this is the methodology I've taken. First, I've modified the code in the model. There is an automatic irrigation routine in the model, but I've modified that in order to make it more similar to how water might be managed on a particular farm. These modifications have included passing in the state variable from the wheat growth model. This is the wheat root depth state variable. I've moved that variable into the automatic irrigation routine so that I can change the management depth for water over the season as the crop grows. I've also added a parameter for that I'm calling the post-irrigation soil water content. So that's a parameter that can be specified, and this is so that we can conduct deficit irrigation as a part of the automatic irrigation routine. And I've added code to simply halt this automatic irrigation on the day that the crop reaches maturity. Then I've conducted these automatic irrigation simulations over a range of two parameters. The first parameter being the threshold root zone water content. This is the water content at which I want to trigger the irrigation. This is within the root zone depth. Also, the post-irrigation root zone water content, as I specified earlier, this is the desired level of soil water content in the root zone after irrigation. And so using these two parameters, I can calculate the depth of irrigation to be applied. And then I run the model many times, varying these two parameters by 1%. And then after each simulation, collecting the outputs of interest, including the wheat yield, total number of irrigations required, total irrigation volume applied over the season, and then from these variables, calculating some other metrics that are of interest to irrigation people, including the irrigation water use efficiency defined as the yield over the depth of irrigation water applied, the crop water use efficiency defined as the yield over the amount of evapotranspirated water, and I've done a simple economic analysis looking at marginal net return for the grower. So here is an example of the result, where on the x-axis we have the threshold root zone soil water content. This is the water content at which irrigations are triggered. And on the y-axis we have the level of soil water content that we're irrigating up to. So in that way it doesn't make sense to have the y-axis greater than the x, so these are all zero. And here is the result for wheat yield in two seasons of weather data here in 03-04, 04-05. What we find basically is if we let that root zone soil water drop below 40%, we start to lose yield pretty quickly in both seasons. Here is the plot for the number of irrigations required, and I will say that I'm not advocating any particular management strategy here. Some of them are obviously very impractical and would not be implemented. But the point of the exercise is to use the model to look at all the possible ways that could happen and then gain some kind of understanding from that. So what we find here is that if we take this management practices that are highly impractical and we're applying water every time the soil gets down to 90%, we're having to irrigate up to 20 and 25 times, which is very impractical. As we let the soil moisture drop lower, then we have a fewer number of irrigations required over the season. Here we have total irrigation volume, and it's quite a complex plot. I might back up 1 second. And if we look again at the total number of irrigations, we have a gradient. And then take a look, like maybe follow this gradient here, this particular level. If I move forward, you can see that gradient is still present there. So we have one effect of number of irrigations, but within the same number of irrigations, we have a second gradient where we're moving down lower amount volume of water applied as we move down right here, and what's happening there is that if you imagine if I apply an irrigation the day before crop maturity, we have a full profile when the crop matures and then stops taking up water, so it's quite inefficient. So within the same number of irrigations, there's a change in inefficiency depending on how well the crop is using that final irrigation depth. So now I'll just take you through a quick example of how this information might be used. Let's say, for example, that on a particular year we have a restriction of water. We can only apply 450 millimeters of water. So what's the best way, what's the optimum way to use that available water? So we'll start with our plot for total irrigation volume, and then we'll just remove all of the cases that we can't use. We don't have enough water to apply here. And we can also look at our wheat production plot. And we take away all the options that are not a possibility. And what we find is that if we want to optimize yield, given the case that we only have 450 millimeters of water available, we have a few management options which fall right here. So to summarize, we have two cases here, one where we optimized production. This was for the 2004-2005 season. We optimized production first with no water restriction, and we find that the model tells us to irrigate at 49% root zone soil water, irrigate up to 106% root zone soil water. That required 8 irrigations and a total of 510 millimeters of water for a wheat yield of 6833 kilograms per hectare. When we have this water restriction in place, we're only allowed 450 millimeters of water. Now we need to trigger the irrigations at 47% root zone soil water, deficit irrigate up to 73%. That required 9 irrigations for a total depth of 449 millimeters of water applied and a yield of 6741. So in summary, we've applied 12% less water and we've only lost 1% in our yield. So I've demonstrated that example with optimizing wheat production, but you can imagine there might be other things that might be of interest, other objectives that we might be interested in our management decision. Here I've calculated the irrigation water use efficiency, which ironically tells us if we want to be most efficient, then we shouldn't irrigate at all. So we have the highest values here. But our production values showed us that below 40%, we lose yield very quickly. So maybe the optimum in that case would be up in here somewhere. Similarly, for crop water use efficiency, we come up with this plot where, again, we have the higher crop water use efficiency when there's no irrigation applied. Okay, now quickly I'll go to the marginal net return. So this would be what would be of interest to the grower. I've defined marginal net return as the yield times the price of wheat minus the irrigation depth times the price of water, where I've assumed that wheat is going for $4.50 a bushel, which was the price on the day that I did this analysis. And water, I assume, is $52 an acre foot, which is the current going rate for water off the Central Arizona Project Canal. And I come up with this result. So if you can look closely, there is a point here of darker red indicating the optimum marginal net return here. That's also shown right here in a darker color for this season. So basically what that means is that if we want to maximize our profit, we need to apply water at about 45% root zone soil water content, irrigate up to just above field capacity. That's in both seasons. And so if you think about that, that's pretty much what growers will do these days, just by their own intuition, letting the field go down to about 55% depletion and then irrigating up to somewhat over field capacity. So there's plenty of directions. This is just preliminary simulations at this point, but some of the future directions that I aim to take this work, first incorporating a long-term historical weather record so that we can begin to look at the distribution of these variables over the long term and begin talking about risks of different management strategies versus the other. Incorporating weather forecasting into the weather data of the model so that we can begin to use these techniques for in-season management decisions. Of course, we can do the same thing by projecting forward with future climate scenarios. Now, also, we know that crop development is important in decisions for water management because the crop is more sensitive to water limitations at certain periods of time. And I haven't incorporated any of the simulation results on crop development in the management decision. So moving some of the variables of the wheat stage into the irrigation management routine might help us to better tailor the management decision based on the current stage of the crop. Of course, water and nitrogen are inherently linked, so there could be similar strategies taken to manage both water and nitrogen together. And then, of course, application to spatial water management for cases where we have mechanisms available to apply water spatially. So that's all I have for you. I can take any questions if we have time.